morning. Good morning. A good morning it is that I'm have the honor to stand up here and give a word. If you don't know me, my name's Quinn Pruitt. I'm the student pastor here at First Baptist Church. And if you don't know, you may soon know just because of the nerves. This is my first time up on stage giving a sermon to you all. So thank you. Thank you. With that, I got asked a couple weeks ago and been working through this sermon trying to figure out what it is God wants spoken to this congregation, and there was a lot of nerves then, but not as much anymore. A comfort's kind of come over now, so hoping that shows through, but need to give an apology to really the camera operator and maybe this middle section right here. I'm a little bit of a pacer. I kind of picked that up. A little bit about me is I livestock judged back in the day, back in high school and in college, and I picked up this little habit in that setting. See, we would go out all day and we'd judge animals, judge a class of animals, and we'd pick, is one better than two, is four better than three, do I want a top pair, do I want a bottom pair, do I want a middle pair, and how do I bring it all together? And we would do that all day. You'd have to be quiet. You can't talk. It's against the rules. And you would come back, and they'd give you a chair, and they'd rack you up in rows. And you weren't, you could stand up, and you could walk around. So we had these pathways in between rows, and you would just sit there, and you'd walk them back and forth and back and forth. And I'd talk to myself and try to explain to myself what I need to explain to the judges. And then you finally get to give your set of reasons to the judges. So apologies for that. As you'll see, they got it up there on the big screen. Luckily, my inexperience didn't cost me on this one. There was going to be five little piggies. That's the name of this sermon. There was going to be five up there. We potentially almost cut them off, so you just see one over on the side. But due to the five, if you know where I'm going with this, some of y'all do it with your children or have done it with your children. We have five little piggies. I kind of want to bring you back to a time that you were a young man or a young woman trying to make things work, trying to start a new career, trying to figure out what this whole family thing is. And doing it with somebody you really, really dearly love. And not only that, but you're doing it with a one or two or three or four or five-year-old, right? Some of y'all are catching on now. And so the ones who know where I'm going with this, we have five little piggies. I think very highly of this congregation. Like Cecil said, I don't think we're a three-toed people. I don't think we're a four-toed people. I think we're a five-toed people. Maybe counting on both feet, but we're a five-toed people, okay? So if y'all will say it with me, right? This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed. This little piggy ate. And this little piggy had. And this little piggy we're not going to talk about because it is the last point of this sermon today. So we're going to hold that off for right now, and we'll throw it up on the screens here in a minute, and we'll all say it together. Y'all did a great job. So, we will be in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. If you're already flipped there, if not, flip there with me, and we'll take off reading. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap, because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. If you would pray with me. Lord, I want to thank you for this morning, as we've thanked you again and again for gathering us together, Lord. But I ask in this time, with this set of scriptures, Lord, that you reveal your purpose, that you reveal your knowledge, your wisdom, your love upon us, Lord, in whatever way you see fit on each and every one of us individually, Lord, that you make your word known. I ask that we have ears to hear, that we have hearts to be sown into, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen. All right. So, on to the 5 points. We'll throw point number one up on the screen so you can see it there. We're going to go a little differently. We're going to start with this little piggy had an issue. See, Paul, as you know from the title Galatians, he's writing to the church of Galatia. And remember, he's not writing to just the church, or he's not writing to the people of Galatia. He's writing to the church of Galatia. He's writing to the people who were persecuted at the time. So you can bet that they have taken up their cross, that they have committed their lives to Christ, that they're seeking a greater purpose. They're not just doing this willy-nilly and we'll try it out once and see how it works. No, these are people that have been told the word and they're trying to seek him in a church body. And Paul, he's coming to a conclusion here in Galatians. And before he fully concludes it, he's kind of giving them encouragement. He's giving them a last pointer. He's summing everything up. And in verse 1, he gives us 4 characters. Those 4 characters, as I read, I'll tell you about them. They're an issue. They're a who. They're a task. And they're a caution. So as we read here, your issue is if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing. The who is you who are spiritual, you who are Christ followers, you who have the Spirit within you. The task is restore such a person with a gentle spirit. And the caution is watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. He lays out a scene for us to explain in verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4, and verse 5 really is the main points I'm going to get on. But I want you to know that as we go, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I've commanded you to, and remember, I'll be with you to the end of the age. See, he says, as we go into our lives, as we go into the world, as we leave the church, and as we end revival, we can bet on 2 things. The first is that Christ will always be with us. He says that in Scripture, in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. So we can bet on Jesus will be with us, but the second thing is that the evil one will always be against us. He's always trying to thwart God's plan. He's always against the will of God. He's never with it. He's never in combination with it. You'll never see the two in the same spot. That praise butts out anxiety. So as we go, and I said as we finish revival, one thing I want to catch all up on is Cecil said last week, he said revival, it's bringing vitality back in the body. It had life, and we're putting life back into it. We're building it up. And you see the same thing in verse 1 when he says, restore such a person with a gentle spirit. In other translations, it's the spirit of gentleness, capital S, the Holy Spirit of gentleness, right? Restore such a person. You see that back again, this restore. That they had stores before, but we must store back up in them. We must place good things back in them. Build them up. Restore them. So that's as we're leaving revival. We'll kind of translate that into the next couple verses. So if you want to throw point 2 up there. We're going to go with this little piggy stayed good. See, in verse 2, we carry on of the task. The task at hand is to restore such a person. And we learn that in doing so, we carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love, that Christ, that God loved us so much that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. It's out of love that we can be saved by faith through grace. Now, as I said, we're going to be through 1 through 10, but our main points are going to be 1 through 5. 6, 7, and 8, I would like for you to read those yourself throughout this week, that as we leave the church, right, as we finish revival, it's on you now that we take these with us, that we remember that, hey, as we're overtaken, we store back up. But one thing I want to point out to you before you read it and you become confused such as I was and have to work through it by yourself. See, in verse 2, he says, carry one another's burdens. And in verse 5, he says, for each person will have to carry his own load. And in the King James Version, he actually uses the word burden. He says, you'll have to carry your own burden. And if you're caught up like I was and you're saying, okay, so I'm going to have to carry my own burden, but the same Christ follower is, I'm going to have to help carry their burden. And the point to get out of this is the English language sometimes doesn't have the proper words to explain what is being contemplated in Greek. And so I'm bringing that out to light, is that in verse 2, you see that burdens is the word beros, and it means weight by definition. But because of the wordplay Paul uses here, it's not only weight. See, it refers back to its base word, which is basses, and it's to walk, and by the wordplay, it's to walk in a declining manner. It's to walk down, to be weighed down. As we go, we are getting weighed down. We're getting burdened. Y'all with me? Okay. Now, in verse 5, we get a completely different meaning. When he says, carry his own load, carry his own burden, he's using the word phortion. And phortion means task or service. In other words, our convictions and our responsibilities, that each one of us as Christians is going to be, in a way, burdened with the law of Christ, with what he commands us to do. We have that on us. We have the Holy Spirit speaking to us that tells us, no, yes, this way, that way. But something we'll go into the next point. I don't want to ruin it for y'all. See, the phortion is to be weighed down. And so I have a quick little story for you, okay? I want to see if anybody was as smart as I was when I was a kid, okay? How many of y'all have animals? Right? Dog, a cat, maybe a gerbil, right? Okay, now, more specifically, how many of y'all have livestock? Right? Cattle, horses, sheep and goats, bless your hearts. Llamas, maybe, right? And multiple, right? So we buy feed for multiple animals. That's in 10, 20, 30, 40 bags, pallet loads of bags, right? And as I was growing up, my mom would go get feed, and I'd be unloading feed one at a time, two at a time sometimes. I thought I was hot stuff. I'm going and loading it in the barn. And then you get to a problem, right? All the bags that are close to the tailgate are gone. And there's only the bags up in the truck bed. And you can't reach over. That's too difficult, right? So, I jump up in the bed, and luckily just grab one bag, and I was like, I'll be quick about it, you know, I'll just run up to the tailgate and just hop off. It'll be all good, you know, I'll catch myself, one bag, no big deal. If you've been there, you understand that there's two outcomes to that. One is you either feel like you broke your back. The second one, as me, you end up kissing the dirt with a bag of feed on your back, all right? So, with that picture in your head, maybe it's better understood that word beros, that word weight, that word weighing down. As we go, as we walk, we're declining. Right? Cool? All right. So, we're going to move on to point three. Point three is this little piggy was prideful. As verse 2 explained the task, verse 3 explains a little bit more about the caution, right? He says, watch out for yourselves that you also won't be tempted. But in verse 3 he says, for if anyone considers himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. When we go up to somebody who's been overtaken, and just to make sure you understand, that word overtaken that's used in verse 1 is more of a surprise word. See, it wasn't intentional that somebody chose to walk into the dark. That word overtaken is more of an ambush by the enemy. It sprung up upon them. They didn't call for it. So when we go up to somebody who's been overtaken, and we look at them and we say, "Man, you failed. I didn't fail. I must be pretty good," right? You're looking at somebody you think is lower than you, an outcome that you don't want. See, in verse 3, he's explaining how we fail. Verse 1, he says, watch out so you don't be tempted. But in verse 3, he's saying, this is how you fail, is comparing yourself to somebody else. That you'll deceive yourself, that you're hard in your own heart. That anything that you put in comparison to God's performance on the cross, you're done. Now, I know I told y'all that I had high esteem for you. I thought you were a five-toed people, right? I started looking at this yesterday, and I was like, well, maybe we're four-toed. We're 4 points here. See, really, I should have combined point three and point four, which you can't explain one without the other. If you want to throw point four up on the screen, it's this little piggy had none. None of what? None of pride, right? We take it back to the initial one. This little piggy had pride. This little piggy had none. He tells us in verse 4, it sounds weird at first because you're like, pride's a bad thing, but let me read it to you. He says, let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. Paul knows that if you're not cautious, And you're going to fall into temptation, that if you consider yourself something when you're actually nothing, there is going to be two outcomes to this. There is going to be two possibilities. You either are going to look at somebody who's lower, and you're going to say, I'm pretty darn stinking good, and you take pride in your heart. Or you look at somebody higher than you, and envy enters. You become envious. Two outcomes when you compare yourself with somebody of this world. And Paul knows that those two outcomes, neither one is good. Neither one is going to lead you to a Christ-like composure. So he tells you, hey, if you're going to compare yourself with somebody, if you're going to take pride in yourself, check your insides. Take an internal inventory of yourself. Because as a Christian, what are we going to find on the inside of us? As a Christian, this is for you, as a Christian, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what enters into us? What do we accept? The Holy Spirit. If we look at ourselves, if we look internally, and we say, who am I and am I good? No. No one's good but Christ. No one's good but if Christ enters you. It's not by me that I'm able to do things. It's not by my power that I'm able to do things. It's by Christ alone who works through me. That if you're going to take internal revenue, you understand that me personally on this earth is in no comparison to Jesus Christ, is in no comparison to the Holy Spirit and how good and loving and kind He is. So the point to point four is we must overcome, not be overtaken. That persecution is going to come against us. But we must dismiss all of that and say Christ is better. So, we are going to move in to point five. Hey, take that off screen real quick if you can. All right, good. Hey, point five. I kind of want to explain it before we get into it. Point five. We're going to jump a couple verses, a few verses, and we're gonna jump to verse 9. And I know in 1 through 5, I've given you a lot of you, me statements, right? A lot of personal statements is how I should act to a believer, how I should act with myself, how I should examine myself to Christ, how I should keep myself from being tempted, right? And what I want y'all to see in verse 9 and 10, just like we already know, is this: we are the body of Christ. We move together. We are the bride of Christ. We can do great things together. And make no mistake about it, you are a foot. You are an eye. You are an ear. You are a hand. See, we can throw up point five now. And as you see in point five in red, means it's important. Everybody get your voice back in you. Here we go. The last piggy. This little piggy went wee all the way back home. Right? I knew y'all had it in you. I knew y'all would remember it. Great job. So as you see up there, I don't know how a pig would say it. I guess it'd be W-E-E, right? But as you see it, it's W-E, 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 all the way back home. And that's because we're going to read out of verse 9 and 10, and y'all follow along with me. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all. And this last statement here is an inclusive statement. He could have easily put, especially for us, especially for those of the household of faith, is what he's saying, especially for those who belong to the household of faith, as Christians, as the body of Christ. So that's a sixth time. Six times in two verses, he gives us inclusive statements, an us, we statements. You've heard the saying, I'll handle the dimes so you can spend the dollars. I'll handle the little stuff so you can do big stuff. I'll examine myself to Christ so we can do great things. And that's each and every one of us. That's not just me personally. Each and every one of us examine ourselves, examine our hearts to Christ, and understand that we're nothing, but we can do all things through Christ. So, the big statement, it's not going to be up on the screen, so you note takers right here, all right? Y'all listen, it's quick. The point of, and I hit on verse 9 the best, or the most here. Don't get tired and don't give up. See the tired feeling. We bring it back to verse 5, and we must carry our own burden, our own commitment. 100% of the time. That can be tiring on its own. But then we're asked to carry one another's burdens. to restore a person that's been overtaken. What does that imply to us? 110%. Now, I know coaches, I know teachers, I know inspirational speakers will tell you, go 110%. All you got, nonstop, go. It's impossible. For you and I, we do not have a greater power supply than us alone unless Christ is within us. That if Christ is within us, we have a power supply that is non-consuming. We have a power supply that will never run out. That being filled by His Spirit is in no comparison to anything we can have on this earth. We can barely go the 100% in our daily lives, or we start cutting stuff out, or we start being anxious, or we start worrying and fretting. But by Christ's Spirit, we can hit that 100%. We can hit that 110% that He asks of us, that Paul asks of us, that Paul explains in chapter 6. So don't get tired. Even when persecution comes against you, don't give up. Because one thing that we can all rely on as Christians is that Christ is greater, and that even myself, even everything I think I am, is in nothing in comparison to Christ. So there's no use in giving up, because giving up would say that Christ is not better. Giving up would say that I can do it on my own. Giving up is saying that Christ isn't sufficient. We are coming to the close of this sermon. And here in just a second, if you're new here, to explain to you. Here in just a second, I'm going to invite you forward. See, we get this in our heads sometimes. We get, our flesh doesn't want to let go, and it wants to tell us a lot of things that are untrue. But coming up here to pray with one another, to pray for yourself, we understand that Ron, Lane, Shannon, and I, we've been in the same boat, but so has the person next to you, behind you, and in front of you. That there's no use worrying about them, because what's supposed to happen here is restoring one another with the spirit of gentleness. That what's supposed to happen here is laying at the feet of God and saying, I'm not giving up. You're greater. So I'm going to bring it to your feet. I'm going to let you handle it, because you are all sustaining. And I sometimes can't go 100%. So I'm going to pray with you all. And Billy's going to come up on stage and lead us in a little worship. And I want you all to live by your responsibilities and live by your convictions.